While it may appear that gay marriage is the main issue for the LGBT community, in fact, there are many other issues that are of concern to most queers. Racism within the LGBT community in Germany has been an issue boiling under the radar for years. Recently, this issue was brought to wide public attention when well-known philosopher and queer theorist Judith Butler refused to accept an award from the Berlin Gay Pride after a number of queer groups in Germany had accused the organizers of racist policies and practices. Jin Heritawarn is a member of Suspect, one of the groups who contested the Berlin Pride groups, and one of the LGBT groups in Germany that has been fighting against racism in the LGBT community there. Paola Paquetta talked to Heritawarn about the Butler event and racism in Germany and the LGBT community.
I'm Paola Paquetta, and we're talking with Jin Heritawarn. Jin is a member of the Queer of Color group Suspect, an anti-violence organization in Berlin for queer and trans people of color and allies. Jin Heritawarn is a trans person of color born and raised in Germany. He's an activist and intellectual on the intersection of racism, homophobia, and transphobia, including on prison abolition. He's done queer of color activism in London and Berlin for almost a decade. A few weeks ago at the gay pride events in Berlin, Judith Butler, the queer theorist and philosopher and professor at UC Berkeley, was supposed to receive an award for civil courage. But you and other members of the group Suspect and activists from three other groups in Berlin against racism contacted her a few days before the Gay Pride event, and you explained that several of the main organizers of the event had made racist statements about people of color, including Muslims, in their writings published in LGBTQ and mainstream media. So you asked Judith Butler to refuse the award for civil courage. She did that, and instead she called attention to racism. She called attention to the four groups. She said that she refused to be complicit with racism, including anti-Muslim racism in LGBTQ movements. Could you tell our listeners a bit more about Judith Butler's action, about whether or not it highlighted racism in a way that it hadn't been highlighted before in Germany?
Sure. Judith Butler's action has been really important in raising awareness of that. I mean, obviously, there had been a lot of work on this before and, you know, often work that, you know, was very risky and led to instant backlash, to instant marginalization from gay, queer and trans scenes. So it was really kind of important to have a famous person basically say that in order to draw attention to it. And I think there's been a lot of people of color, both straight and queer, in Berlin have been really ecstatic because this was one of the few times that words like racism, including anti-Muslim racism, made it into the German press, which normally prefers to speak of about kind of prejudice against foreigners, you know, like using very racist language that, again, excludes people of color from the nation. Judith Butler basically gave, you know, her kind of invitation to the Pride stage to publicly refuse the Civil Courage Award and combine that with a speech that was very clear about her unwillingness to underwrite a racist queer politics. Following what has in Germany become known as the Butler scandal, which in itself is also slightly problematic because, I mean, lots of queer people of color have, you know, kind of made the same critique for such a long time. And it kind of speaks of a problematic politics of representation that, you know, we need a white celebrity to kind of make everyone aware of it. And at the same time, she used her own name and put out her own neck and kind of was willing to face backlash, lose fans, etc. And in a way, you know, that's kind of allied politics is really important. And within Suspect, I guess, we try to do the same. So following that scandal, there has been a backlash. The Pride Committee put out a press release, got their journalist allies on board to spread rumors that basically it must have been gays and lesbians of the Türkei, the queer group for people of Turkish parentage and allies, and that it must have been like a private disagreement between them and the Lesbian and Gay Federation Germany, because they had in the past kind of worked with them a few years ago and then sacked them, basically, in public statements, etc. And, you know, this is like a debate that is ongoing.
Could you tell our listeners a bit more about the Gay Pride organizers and racism and why it was necessary to call attention to their racism, and what did they do exactly?
So basically, the Pride team is full of people who are either opinion makers or work with gay organizations, are on the board of such organizations that have been really central in targeting people of color, especially those racialized as Muslims, as intrinsically homophobic, backward, and not really part of German society. They have included a journalist that since the early 2000s has been really vocal in describing Muslims as archaic, as pre-modern, as so homophobic that they will never fit in. They also included people who were on the board of organizations such as Maneo, which is a gay helpline in Berlin that for a number of years has been really active in putting out press statements, putting out statistics that then turn out being faked. There was a scandal last year about this, where the violent perpetrator of homophobic hate crimes is almost always a migrant, a young man of color, sometimes described as religious and therefore Muslim, who basically goes around attacking gay people. The Lesbian and Gay Association Germany, which is the biggest surviving gay organization here, that again, since the late 1990s, after the same-sex Civil Partnership Act, decided to specialize on migrants, a group that they hadn't really been that interested in before, especially gay migrants, and basically inserted gay rights agendas into moral panics around integration, that migrants are basically unassimilable and won't ever fit into Germany. Also really useful in kind of redefining Germany as a gay-friendly country and thus kind of bringing gay rights activists, especially, well, exclusively white people, mostly gay men, onto public platform that way and into the nation, basically. That culminated a few years ago in a horrific debate about the so-called Muslim test of German nationality. Basically, again, repeated Muslims in quotation marks as unassimilable. The debate has moved from the borders to the inner city and crime and prisons, essentially. Wider racist discourses on crime and security again became gay rights agendas. And in Germany, that was very much the case with the of hate crimes activism a few years ago, which from the start was racialized and targeted Muslims. So basically that's been their main activism since the late 1990s and the strong overlaps with the Pride Committee. Basically a lot of what passes as sexual politics in Germany is essentially the work of racist oligarchy.
There are some interesting parallels between the US and Germany around the division between those who within LGBTQ movements who want to assimilate, those who are homonormative and who want to sort of follow along the lines of heteronormativity, and then those who have a different kind of politics and also a kind of positionality which is unassimilable under the current conditions. In the U.S., we have, for example, the issue of gay marriage, where white gays, middle-class gays in general, have taken up this issue and made it into the most central issue for all queers, and it's far from the central issue for most queers. In fact, it hides the most central issues for most queers, and especially queers of color, such as problems with employment, housing, violence, homelessness, prisons, etc. In Germany, do you have a similar kind of situation where white LGBTQ folks and middle-class folks have set up their own agenda as the gay agenda? And if so, maybe you can tell us a little bit about what that looks like.
The discussion hasn't been around gay marriage as much in Germany so far, but what immediately comes to mind is, again, this kind of attempt to become respectable, you know, that the gay marriage agenda is also pushing, and how in the kind of current single issue of sexual organizing in Berlin, but also probably more widely in Western Europe, which is hate crimes activism, again, the victim of violence, of the kind of violence that makes it into the newspapers or into the public debate, is often someone who fits the gay marriage agenda very closely, is often a white, gay, non-trans male, middle-class couple who, it is highlighted then in the newspaper reports, have a registered partnership, who live together, who've been together for a long time, and, you know, one of them is a banker and the other one is a student, and now their only crime is walking down the street in a neighborhood and then getting beaten up by, you know, these youth of color. So the gay marriage agenda, you know, is implicitly still very much there. there in the kind of current activism around hate crimes. The debates after Proposition 8, the reversal of same-sex marriage rights, that was immediately blamed on Latina voters and African-American voters, are very similar to the ones that we're having here, you know, which is basically a racialization of sexuality where homophobia is no longer a problem of wider, implicitly white society, but instead becomes a problem of those who never really belonged in the first place, those who are easily disposed through often targeted already by the criminal so-called justice system, by border controls, etc.
Jin, could you explain to our listeners about racism, including anti-Muslim racism, more widely in Germany? Which racialized groups are the targets of racism? What have been some of the main issues?
I think we can identify four moments of German racism that are really important. The first is colonialism, which in Germany is completely erased from collective memory, so that Black Germans are still an oxymoron, and that, like, racism against Black Germans is really intense to the point where non-white people from Germany are almost unable to identify as German. The second moment, obviously, is a much better known one, the Holocaust. And I think in Germany there's this notion that racism began 1933 and ended 1945. And the third moment is German unification. In the 90s, there was a massive surge of racist violence, asylum-seeker homes burning, arson attacks on migrant-owned shops, massive street violence, police violence. People of color in the former German Democratic Republic were deported, large scale. That was actually part of the unification contract. East Asian people and African people on trains were routinely stopped and searched because they were suspected to be undocumented. If you compare that to the 90s, where anti-racist activists were trying to raise awareness of this massive surge of violence, including trying to use such concepts as hate crimes, that was not at all successful. And then obviously 9/11 was a really important moment as well, where categories of, you know, foreigners, migrants, of people of color, partly gave way to a new category of Muslim. And what we have seen is very similar to other European contexts. We've seen massive disenfranchisement of communities that have been here for a long time and in the second and third generation, where people can, for the first time since Nuremberg laws, be stripped of their passports again, where there is massive racial profiling, policing of racialized neighborhoods, and also it's getting easier and easier to actually deport people.
How does racism specifically affect LGBT people of color in Germany?
Unlike in other contexts, this is actually a really under-researched area that there is very little official knowledge about. There's everyday knowledge about it. There's community knowledge about it, about, you know, for example, the intense vulnerability to all kinds of police violence, to gentrification, to homelessness, to poverty. But kind of figures that we do have often tend to be from studies that have actually been commissioned by the, you know, homo nationalist organizations. So the kind of numbers that we do have can't really be trusted and are from the start designed to prove a certain point. Another kind of way in which racism affects queer people of color in Germany is obviously the increasing exclusion from gay, queer, trans organizations is getting ever stronger, where both mainstream and alternative queer spaces are often much more invested in criminalizing migrants than in actually supporting queers of color.
You're listening to KPFA Radio's Women's Magazine. I'm Paola Baqueta, and we're talking with Jin Harita-Warn, who's in Berlin. Jin is a member of the Queer of Color group Suspect, an anti-violence organization in Berlin for queer and trans people of color and allies. We're talking about racism in LGBTQ movements and in society in general in Germany, about what's being done about it and about its link to the U.S. and elsewhere. Jin, perhaps you could tell us a bit about how Suspect came together and what exactly the group does. What are your main concerns? What are your engagements with feminism, with queer politics?
Suspect, in comparison with some of the other groups, is a fairly, in comparison, fairly new group. We formed in early 2009 when the hate crimes discourse was really kicking off in Germany. So we formed in order to monitor the arrival of hate crimes debates, which, as I said before, were from the start heavily racialized. We actually started as a reading group, both because we felt we had to educate ourselves about what happens when hate crimes activism arrives and what has happened in other contexts where this punitive turn to the protectionist state and to the penal state had already happened. So we ended up reading a lot of work by Insight, by the Sylvia Rivera Law Project, by Critical Resistance, by women, trans of color, anti-violence organizations in the U.S. And ultimately, our goal is to build an anti-violence movement that does not prioritize some kinds of violence over other kinds of violence, and that understands violence as something that is intersectional, where for queer and trans people of color, for example, you can't always separate, am I being stopped by this police person because I'm a person of color or because I'm gender nonconforming, for example. So kind of, you know, our aim is both to kind of support alternatives, to build alternative support systems, because at the moment these people are basically stuck with this gay anti-violence hotline that's regularly called the police, you know, which for people who are undocumented, for example, is a big problem and often not something that people want or that's going to add additional violence. And also raise awareness and also fight forms of violence that are less spectacular, that often go unnoticed because they are so everyday, because they're so normalized, like gentrification and the prison system. And our engagement with feminism, we are very influenced by feminism, especially transnational, intersectional, women of color feminisms, with their rich history of dealing with differences, dealing with power, you know, focus on intersectionality, which is something that we find is often missing from gay politics, you know, that have been more resistant to that, or even from queer politics that, you know, often kind of assume that categories are bad and identities are bad because, like, we're all kind of beyond binaries now. But it is not a women's space. Actually, like, the majority are women, but we also have non-trans men. We also have straight people of color. We have one white person. And that kind of coalition work is really important for us.
Jin, I wanted to ask you, along the lines of the coalitional work, etc., the website that your group put up, which is called No Homo Nationalism, and that any listener could just search for it and find it on the web, has an explanation of what happened with the Berlin Pride, but it also has a lot of statements of support that have come in from around Germany and from around the world, and some are still arriving. For example, the French lesbian of color group Espace Le recently wrote a statement that will soon be posted on the website. But have there been any kind of conversations that have already started, or do you see any productive potential for conversations in the future?
Definitely. It's been really amazing to get all these transnational solidarity messages, often incidentally from places that are also targeted by homo nationalists, homo neocolonialists, from Turkey to South Africa and Russia and the Netherlands and Britain. And I think it is really important that we begin to have these transnational conversations, because I think often the way people have dealt with the rise in gay racism is by just looking at their own context and kind of not drawing the linkage. And it's interesting because the other side is actually, you know, engaging in transnational conversations. For example, hate crimes activism that, you know, in Europe often target the so-called ghetto, you know, kind of gentrifying inner city neighborhoods that where white gay people are moving into and that they then declare as our neighborhoods where the violence is rising and where we need more policing. That is something that has sprung up almost simultaneously in several West European countries. So it is really necessary that we start having these conversations and start to map and also to out homo nationalism and also talk about homo neocolonialism more, because the same organizations such as the Lesbian Gay Association in Germany do homo nationalist politics here are starting to go global, you know, are starting to target Eastern Europe. It is really important to, you know, start talking to each other and also start thinking about how we can build alternative solidarity movements that really deserve this name.
You've been listening to KPFA Radio's Women's Magazine. I'm Paola Bacchetta, and we've been talking with Jin Harita-Warn, who's in Berlin. Jin is a member of the group Suspect, an anti-violence organization in Berlin for queer and trans people of color and allies. We were talking about racism in LGBTQ movements and in society in general in Germany, and also about what's being done about it and what's its link to the U.S. and elsewhere.